This great festival of the Epiphany. So we're getting close to the end of the Christmas season, which will actually end tomorrow with the baptism of the Lord. This great time that Mother Church has given us to really dwell on the fact that the Word of God is dwelling among us. And the great effect this has had and the implications of this great mystery. You know, on Christmas Day, Christmas night, we hear about the birth, and Mary and Joseph are there, and then the shepherds come. And the shepherds are Jewish men. And so the angels told these Jewish men what had happened, and they went, and they adored, and they worshiped, and they proclaimed glory to God for this birth of this Christ child. But today is something more significant in salvation history. And it's a really significant event for, I would say, probably all of us, most of us, if not all of us. Because unless you are of Jewish descent, then we are Gentile origin. We are people of the nations. We are people who were excluded from the promise, who were kept to the outside of the temple and couldn't get close to the holy things of God. But this day, today, shows us that the light of Christ shines on all people, that there is no more division between us and them or us and anyone else. And that's the world the Jews had built, the Jews and the everybody else, and the everybody else was excluded. That wasn't God's original plan. And we know our story from the Old Testament. Most of the time, God's original plan gets thwarted because of human weakness. And after the original sin and God's desire to recreate, he chose this small tribe of people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, to be a light to the nations. And through them, and the witness of their dedication, the witness of their life and the covenant with the one true God, that their lives would be a magnet attracting people, attracting everyone else back into this original plan of God, that the one family of God is united into one. And this is what's celebrated today. And as these men from the east, the men from a faraway country, the men from the non-Jewish territories have received this revelation, and they've made their way to and through Jerusalem to Bethlehem to worship, to honor, to adore the babe in the manger, the babe in the lap of his mother. Interesting story of these magi. Scripturally, we don't know much more about them than what we heard today. But tradition has developed and enhanced our understanding that these men were the studiers of the stars, of the heavens, and not like some crystal ball guru, but true scientists. And they received this revelation that their gaze was outward in a certain expectation. We can say they lived a life of wonder, of wondering about what else was going on in the world, when these new things would happen, that they allowed the natural realities to expand their heart and their imagination and their desire. These men of wonder. And their wondering led them to become men who wander as they followed the star. No longer content in being what was comfortable and familiar, willing to take the risk to go on an arduous journey with probably not any type of pavement, bricks, or anything, through the desert, with robbers and crazy weather, very torturous, treacherous travels. The courage they took to leave what was comfort to go to the unknown because their hearts had been expanded, desiring something more. And then when they get there, and they're directed exactly where to go, they're overcome with joy at this encounter. We don't know what they were expecting, but these men from a foreign land, who were probably men of prominence, of well-to-do means, end up in a stable, in a shed, in a garage in today's world. They're coming to find a king, and they find a baby. Probably not what they were expecting. But yet still, what was their response? Overcome with joy. And then they entered the house. And before they presented their gifts, what does the scriptures tell us they did? They prostrated themselves. Fell down in worship. If you've ever come to the Good Friday service, you see the priests and the deacons prostrate on the altar in front of the cross. If you've ever been to a priestly ordination or the vows ceremony of a religious brother or sister, you see men and women prostrated on the ground, faced to the ground in honor and worship of the one true God. This is what these men did. They worshiped. So, wandering to worshiping. So how does this apply to us? What do you wonder about? What questions are you asking about the world, about your life, about salvation, about Jesus Christ? Do you ask questions? Or have you constructed your self-made world that you control everything? You've canceled anything that doesn't agree with you. You never wait for anything because everything's immediately available to you. The new thing is always right there available. Constructing a digital universe of your own creation. Right? Isn't that what so many people want to be today? Creators? Getting your platform and become a content creator? Satisfied with ourselves. Does that describe us? Does that describe you? Or, as St. Augustine has described the human person, restless. That our hearts are restless. And we're restless until we rest in the Lord. Because He has made us. He is our Creator. He is the Creator. And He's created us with a desire, with a thirst, a yearning to be with Him. To know more about Him. To serve Him, to love Him, to honor Him, to surrender our life to Him. This is how we're created. Do we allow those desires, those yearnings, permission? Do we give them space to grow within us? And then do we allow them to take us outside of our little comfort zones to go where we might not have the answer? Are we so locked in fear of not being perfect that we're afraid to try anything new? We're afraid to stand out in front of our friends. We're afraid to not be perfect, to not be in the place to get the next advancement in whatever field, whatever desire, whatever lane I'm in. I'm afraid to move because I might not make it. We're afraid to wander. And do we worship? If you were to describe yourself, are you a man or woman who worships? Would your spouse describe you that way? Would your children describe you that way? Would your parents describe you that way? Your friend and your neighbor, your coworker, would they describe you as men and women who worship? This is what this festival is all about. reminding us of who God has called us to be. That it's much more than just a cute little figurine set that we have out in the narthex or in our living rooms or our front yard. There's a real consequence to this festival. That we don't have to settle for a life of fear and mediocrity and anxiety. That we can allow the stars of our life to draw us outside of ourselves into the very lap of our Blessed Mother and to worship Jesus. And then just like the Magi, who left a different way. If we know the rest of the story, it's because they were avoiding Herod. But they left a different way. It's absolutely impossible to encounter Jesus Christ and not be changed. Impossible. We have countless stories of saints who, because of their encounter with Jesus Christ, they have changed the world. They didn't wait for the perfect circumstances. They didn't wait till they had all the answers. It was usually in the messiest part of their life that they followed that star to Jesus and left a different way and changed the world. This is what's available, the opportunity for each one of us. But many of us, if we're honest, to one degree or another, we are like Herod and the religious leaders that first met the Magi. Because Herod, too, had constructed his own little kingdom. A man who was enslaved to his passions, his disordered passions, controlled by lust and anger and greed. And when he got news of a baby, he was riddled with fear. And he lied to these men and said, "Go find where he is so I too can do him homage." But the reason they had to go a different way is because he was planning to kill. And he did. All the young boys, 2 years of age and younger, he killed. This king was afraid of a baby. How insane is that? But when we allow our passions, our fear, our anxiety, our desire for perfection according to our own rules, this is what happens. We get afraid of a baby. Aren't we afraid a little bit? But if we say yes to Jesus, it's going to cost us something. Isn't it just a lot easier just to be mediocre, to do just enough, to not get into serious trouble? But does it work? Does that make our hearts sing and be overcome with joy at the reality of what's here before us? Or is it just a simple, mundane kind of thing that in some way I feel like I'm forced to do? Or has my heart been opened to the promises of eternal life? A week or so ago, you know, we know Pope Benedict XVI passed away. His funeral was on Thursday. And it's customary when a pope dies to have a novena of masses and prayers the 9 days following his funeral. And so we're in the midst of those. And Pope Benedict was a great man. I hope that you're familiar with some of his writings, some of his teachings. Probably the smartest man who lived in the last, you know, century or so. A great theologian, but a friend of Jesus. A man himself who allowed his heart to wonder about the truths of this world, philosophical truths, theological truths, liturgical truths. And he wondered, he wandered, he followed the Lord to the priesthood, to becoming a professor, to becoming a bishop, and by God's grace he became the Holy Father, the Pope. He spent his life worshiping God. And again, his writings are incredible. You can find them anywhere on the internet. Countless books. But to share his thoughts from his first homily as a pope. And he mentioned some of these things. He says, are we not perhaps all afraid in some way that if we let Christ enter fully into our lives, if we open ourselves totally to him, are we not afraid that he might take something away from us? Are we not perhaps afraid to give up something significant, something unique, something that makes our life so beautiful? No. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. No, only in this friendship are the doors of life opened wide. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation. And so today, with great strength and great conviction, on the basis of my long personal experience, I say to you, do not be afraid of Christ. He takes nothing away, and he gives you everything. When we give ourselves to him, we receive a hundredfold in return. Yes, open. Open wide the doors to Christ. And then you will find true life. Amen.